This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've got a very special and interesting guest today. Some of you know him. I'm just in the process of getting to know him. His name is Michael Rivero, and he has a website entitled WhatReallyHappened.com. If you go to that website, you'll see all kinds of fascinating things there related to every conceivable political and cultural issue under the sun. And what we discover when we read WhatReallyHappened.com is that Mr. Rivero has a habit of getting to the deeper meaning of the stories that show how absolutely bankrupt most of corporate media is. And in regard to what he analyzes, it's always a fun thing to encounter a site like this because it's a real contrast between the kind of thought and research that is indicated by WhatReallyHappened.com as opposed to a lot of the shoddy work that passes for journalism in mainstream circles. Michael, how are you, sir?
Fine, Mark. Thank you very much.
Yes. You know, we have so many things we could talk about, Michael, in the next 2 hours. And I, again, will get a post on Breaking All the Rules news about WhatReallyHappened.com so that a whole new number of paleo cons that have not seen your site before will see it and will become regular browsers. I will probably end up adding your page to my links page with your permission in order that folks who pass by my site will also come to yours. What do you see if you had to earmark a couple of things, Michael? What do you see as maybe the two or three most important political issues they are?
Well, that's a really hard question because I think some of the most important things obviously are the continuing moves to mire this country in some wars in the Mideast. Certainly Iraq continues to deteriorate as more and more Americans become aware of how we got into Iraq, and with all the lies and deceptions that got us there. I think in the background, the issue of vote fraud continues to be a very, very important one. You know, obviously just the overall issue of government accountability and honesty, is a major one for any American who cares about his country. If we have a government that's lying to us on a regular basis, then we really don't know what's going on. We don't know what's being done in our name. We don't even know that the government is acting legally and within the bounds of the Constitution if they're being less than honest about what they're doing. So these are all overlapping issues right now that should be of tremendous concern.
Well, you know, I remember quite a number of days ago now when the Iraq Study Group report came out, happened to come across Nightline that evening before going to bed, and Lawrence Eagleburger was, of course, one of the establishment types that was on this show. And Eagleburger said something that I think was absolutely prescient when he was decrying the fact that there is an absolute crisis of confidence in our government and an absolute crisis of confidence in most of our basic institutions. And I think Eagleburger was suggesting that there may be some very good and understandable reasons for that. And as I was watching his appearance on Nightline, I couldn't help but think, you know, what he is basically seeing as a crisis might at one level be that, but maybe at another level it might be an opportunity. Maybe this is a time when alternative media and some of the best political activists that we have in this country, left, right, and center, could in the future capitalize on this to bring about some constructive political change in this country. Maybe. What do you think?
Well, I think what the government considers a crisis, first of all, it's definitely self-created because it takes a long time for a government to build up trust among its own people, and it only takes a couple of reckless lies to really ruin that. And certainly we've seen that with this administration and the preceding administration.
Back with Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. Wanted to ask him some questions about what we're talking about, as well as some news articles that are out there that underscore me the basic Michael articulates so well in his site. This is Mark Dankos, America on RBN. Stay tuned.
Wow. Wow, that coffee smells really...
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your... has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it. I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found a company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. Natural cleaning product wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and 100 herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartate poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web, receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Michael Rivera of WhatReallyHappened.com. And you know, one of the things that's striking to folks is we talked to Michael this morning. If you look at what Michael Rivera has been doing at WhatReally.com and think of what Michael has been doing with Crescent and Cross, American Free Press, and then think of people like Michael Collins Piper and Frosty Wooldridge and some of the other folks connected with RBN and AFP, it becomes apparent that maybe we've had more of an impact, these fellows have had more of an impact, we might imagine, because if you will go to Breaking All the Rules News today, you'll see a couple of pieces that I posted there yesterday coming out of more so-called mainstream circles that suggest that people are beginning to think more along our lines, more along our wavelength. One of these is entitled Fascist America in 10 Easy Steps by Naomi Wolf for The Guardian. Never used to see that sort of thing in The Guardian. Now we're seeing it. Very interesting article by Naomi Wolf in regard to the pattern of things, the blueprint that we see that's been used throughout history for turning an open society into a dictatorship. She notes that each of these 10 steps has already been initiated today in the United States by the Bush administration. That's Fascist America in 10 Easy Steps by Naomi Wolf for The Guardian. James Bovard for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative has an article entitled Working for the Clampdown. Are we going to see the President of the United States using a little noticed provision in the Defense Authorization Act of 2006 to make martial law a possibility? Even the New York Times thinks so, according to what Bovard has written in Buchanan's The American Conservative. What is really going on? with the Insurrection Act in 1807 and the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878 as it relates to Section 1076 of the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2007. You can find the ominous answer to that at Working for the Clampdown, James Bovard for the American Conservative. We've also posted at Breaking All the Rules News. Michael, you're an acknowledged expert in all of this. What really happened, Dom, think of the possibility, perhaps even the probability, that we are moving in the direction of a police state in this country?
Well, I don't think there's any question whatsoever. I think the only difference between radio shows like yours and websites like mine is that we pick up the signs of it sooner than the mainstream media. I think the mainstream media is starting to cover it simply because they can't risk not being seen covering it because it's all over the blogosphere. And every day that goes by sees more people getting their news from the blogosphere and from alternative radio. That distrust that we were talking about before the break, as I was about to say before the music came in, what the government is claiming is a crisis really is a very healthy thing, and that is that the general population is becoming very, very skeptical. They're very skeptical of what the government is saying, and they see that the mainstream media has been aligned with that, so they're turning to these alternative news sources. So now articles like the ones you just mentioned are basically leading the public discourse, and that flow of thought, that flow of information has gotten away from control, and that is really the end of the crisis, because the government has, for many, many years, just gotten used to the idea that they can tell the news media what to tell the public to think. And even today on some of the networks, we're still seeing it. On when the Iraq war is going really bad, the news media will offer us up distractions. We had Anna Nicole Smith without end for the longest time there when, you know, and yes, she was a lovely lady and everything, but this isn't really mainstream important news to the nation, what's going on with her. You know, the war is what's important, but very often we get these distractions. So I think the American public is really waking up to what's going on. They're very skeptical. They're not going to accept what they're being told by the government at face value. And they've come to realize that the news that's handed to you is handed to you the benefit of the hand and or rather than the handy. And if they want to find out what's really going on, they have to go hunting for it. They have to go looking for it. And it involves a little bit more work. But people want to know the truth ultimately, and they're going to go where they can find it. And that's the main reason behind the dramatic shift in numbers away from the mainstream TV news providers and to the alternative news sources.
Well, you know, looking at your site, Michael, you cover so many things, so many interesting things. I noticed that you've had a number of listing postings there along the left-hand side of the page, that little column there, that deal with the Kennedy assassinations, for example. Now, of course, I'm a part of that generation that's old enough, barely old enough, to remember the Kennedy assassination. And in the years that immediately followed that tragedy, I remember as a young boy in grade school coming across a hot-off-the-press copy of Mark Lane's book, Final Judgment, Rush to Judgment was the name of it. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking at that book, I know as a young person, like I was 11 or 12 when it came out, I'm looking through it, and some of my closest family members and associates who saw me glancing at this thing intimated that I might be some sort of a subversive communist for looking at a book like that, that there could be no way that our government could possibly be involved in something like the death of a president. And yet, of course, all these years later, you see a number of people believe that the official version of what happened to Kennedy is in fact not the case. Now, you know, fast forwarding then to September the 11th, 2001, we've got this 9/11 tragedy that in the beginning is being covered magnificently by media in regard to creating a specific spin about who was involved, what it meant, what we were supposed to do, and so forth and so on. But now I see some of the kinds of things that people like Michael Rivero have been talking about for a very long period of time beginning to appear in a couple of more mainstream places. Craig Roberts, for example, has had a number of very candid posts recently where he basically comes very close to saying that he believes that this 9/11 situation is a conspiracy. He cites Professor Stephen Jones's evidence. Morgan Reynolds comes into the mix on this. My friend Dr. Ron Larson up in Austin, who has a PhD from Cornell, has been on this show talking about all of the things wrong with the official explanation. Now, if this thing goes the way that the Kennedy assassination system did, where more Americans come to believe that the truth was not told and that there's something more dark and more ominous than we could have imagined on the day that's behind all of this, where do you think this is going to take us, particularly if the government of the United States is planning on an expansion of the war in the Middle East? How are they going to sell this to an increasingly suspicious public?
Well, the answer is they're not going to be able to, and I think that's probably the major reason we haven't had a repeat of 9/11 is the realization that these kinds of deceptions aren't going to work anymore. And a lot of it comes down to thinking about the time scale, because the John Kennedy assassination, it was some 33 years from the actual assassination to a point where polls were finding half of Americans did not believe the official story anymore. Well, because of the advent of the Internet and alternative radio, more recent scandals had a much shorter time cycle collapse of the cover-up. Vincent Foster was one, was only a matter of 3 years before 50% of responders to polls were saying that they thought maybe he had been murdered after all. And, of course, with 9/11, that cover-up began to unravel almost immediately before a large number of people. And as of right now, polls are showing that roughly 80% of Americans do not believe the official story of 9/11. Now, with a schism of confidence like that, it would be a very foolish thing to attempt another false flag attack. So I don't think the government, I hope the government is smart enough not to pull another one like, because the American public, indeed the whole world, are very, very skeptical of what has been going on. And yes, we're seeing a lot of major mainstream figures, such as Charlie Sheen and Rosie O'Donnell, come forward and say, we're not experts, but we're listening to the experts that are on the alternative media, and they're making a lot more sense. And we're seeing the corporate media fight back, as we saw today when Rosie O'Donnell announced that she's no longer going to be on The View after June. So it really has become a battle for the minds of America, and the blogs and alternative media are winning it. As to what the American people are going to do with that information, I'm hoping things will stay peaceful, of course, but I think the more skeptical the American people become, the more difficult it'll be for the government and mainstream media sources to lie to them. And I think for this reason, we are still not in Iran, although obviously the original plan called us to be engaged in Iran long before now. I think what's going on, if you go back and you look at it, is at the very beginning of the current ramp up to the war cycle, we were seeing the government basically playing the game by the rules that worked during the Cold War. And we're a little late realizing that those rules don't work anymore with the Internet. And as a matter of fact, just yesterday we were seeing articles about how the government they're openly admitting they're secure in their control over newspapers and TV, but they view an open, unchallenged Internet as a direct threat to their power and authority. And so they're trying to rush along this move to Internet 2, which, unlike Internet 1, will be censorable, will be controllable, will have a centralized command and control facility. So that they can basically say, okay, we don't want this or that material to get out, therefore we can put a block on it. And you go back and you look at the original history of the Internet. Okay.
Yeah.
On the break, can I talk to your technician?
Absolutely. Chris, Mike will talk to you during the break. This is Mark Dance America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Michael Rivero. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. Employees, tell the boss to visit CoreDocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor. Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or visit at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them,
You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climate world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-175. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you independence. You need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house or system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, air-efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first who purchases a stove, we'll send a free copy of a released DVD, Getting Started with Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best option at the lowest prices on the web, so visit www.stovesmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesmoreonline.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined by Michael Rivero of WhatHappened.com, talking about all kinds of things going on in this country and around the world politically, and what is going on with our own government and political liberties and media and alternative media, what it means to you, what it means to me in the days ahead. Michael, you were talking about the fact before the break that as far as the control and dissemination of information is concerned, because of the Internet, our government is dealing with a completely different set of circumstances and contingencies now than it did in the pre-Internet era. Expand on that a little bit.
Well, to really understand what a profound change in our society has happened because of the Internet, you need to go back to the early days of when the Internet was being created and understand that it was not ever actually intended for the public to have access to this very, very powerful medium. The net was first created by the Department's Advanced Research Project Agency and was actually called ARPANET and was intended only for government facilities and for universities that were engaged in military-related research. But it proved to be a wonderfully useful tool, and back then it didn't even have the World Wide Web on it. It was basically email, newsgroup postings, and file transfer, and it was designed to survive a nuclear attack. And because of that, there was never any central processing facility for all the information. The packets were just moved around the net. It would automatically try and find routes to get the information through so that if portions of the net dropped off or were destroyed, that the net would continue to work. And it was originally planned that as much as part of the entire net could be destroyed, and the remainder would still continue to function properly. So as scientists who'd been using the net moved out of these government institutions and out of these universities and into the private sector, they started taking net connections with them. So more and more private citizens became aware that this net was operating. So in the 70s, the government became very concerned that this uncontrollable, uncensorable mass communication medium was becoming available to too many private citizens. So that year, they basically went to the companies that they were funding in the backbone of the net and said, okay, there are some new rules coming along with the check, and that is that there are going to be strict controls on who can get on the thing because we don't want the general public to get it. And the companies running the backbone of the net basically said, well, you can keep your money, and we'll pay for it now on. And they basically took the Internet, they took control of the Internet, and that was that the ARPANET became the Internet. And in computer lore, this is called the Great Revolt. This is when the Internet broke free from government control, and they've never been able to get it back. But the point is that it was never intended by the government for everyday ordinary people to have access to this communication, which makes everybody effectively a broadcaster. And it's taken them a little while to realize that this has changed the dynamic of information flow through society as profoundly as Gutenberg's printing press made cheap printing available. And at first there were some efforts to control it, just like there were efforts to control some of Gutenberg's early books, including the Gutenberg Bible, was actually opposed by the church at the time. And they're a little slow picking up on just what a change it has made. And this is why we see the government still trying to get along with the kind of lies and deceptions and cover-ups that worked in the 1950s and the 1960s. But they don't work anymore because one person with a doubt can now get that doubt out to millions and millions of people. And I think going into the 2008 elections, we're going to see an even more significant impact because more and more Americans are turning to the Internet to get their political news. They're finding out the things about candidates that the candidates could formerly rely on the mainstream media never to mention. And, of course, this means we're moving back to running our elections less on packaged presentations and more on the merits of the individual candidates. And this, of course, is a very healthy thing for democracy.
Well, in terms of Gutenberg's printing press, which came up last night at a class I was involved with in a Lutheran church in the south end of San Antonio, presumably Gutenberg's printing press had an awful lot to do with the political and cultural changes, seismic changes in Europe that, among other things, resulted in the Protestant Reformation, be that for good or bad. As we look at the way in which the Internet today is a modern post-technological Gutenberg press, what kinds of long-term political and cultural changes do you see coming on a global basis?
I am seeing a trend for people to realize that they can now acquire the information they need to govern themselves more effectively. So I think the overall trend is going to be away from needing to delegate governmental authority to representatives of some form and a trend toward more direct participatory democratic processes. And it's going to take a little bit of sorting out to get the nuts and bolts of that working, especially if you look at the massive vote fraud we're having to deal with right now. But we're always going to have people who think that they should rule it all, and those sorts of people have to be opposed.
Yes, we'll be back with Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. I want to ask him what the powers that be might do out of desperation to curtail some of these developments. This is Mark Dankoff on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for a regular jog a few months later, you know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments. payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are with Michael Rivero today of WhatReallyHappened.com. Michael, before the break, we were chatting about a number of things related to the Internet and the way that it has confounded attempts on the part of the central state to control the dissemination of information in regard to all kinds of political issues. I'm looking at your website, for example, and it's I'm going to say to all the listeners, if you go to WhatReallyHappened.com, whether you're looking at the main news stories in the center part of the page or going over to what is the archival listings on the left, you'll see so many things there that remind us of how corrupt, how bought and paid for our government is. TWA 800, the Waco and Ruby Ridge tragedies, the Oak City bombing, what happened to Vince Foster and Ron Brown and to the Kennedys, the Israeli situation in this country with the Israeli spy ring and what they may have known, what they may have been involved in regard to 9/11, all kinds of things related to the war on terror. And the list just goes on and on and on of things that we are reminded of when we look at Michael's page in regard to how comprehensively bad this has been just in the last half a century. And Michael, as I look at all of this, to me, if I'm a part of the Bush and Cheney administration, which by the grace of God I'm not, but if I'm a part of the Bush-Cheney administration, presumably, as they continue to plummet in the polls, as more people find out the truth about 9/11, as you understand that truth, as more people find out about crooked defense contracting situations over in Iraq that have made a lot of money for certain people in our government, as we learn more about Homeland Security and Mr. Chertoff, as we find out more about these things that presumably has made power more nervous in this country, if these guys are getting more desperate, and if desperation causes them to do certain things that are even more irresponsible than what they've already done, even rash, far more rash than anything that's happened up to now, is this not an opportunity at the same time that it's an incredibly dangerous situation? In other words, how far will these guys go?
That's always a very difficult question to answer because we certainly hope saner heads will prevail, and there are some saner heads. Unfortunately, we're all our immediate future is held hostage by those individuals who are the least mentally stable, and they get caught up sometimes in their own mythos. There have been a lot of indications that Bush and his inner circle may actually be very much out of touch with what's going on out here among the ordinary population. Bush long ago stated he doesn't even read newspapers anymore. He relies on his advisors to tell him what's going on. And as certainly was the case at the end of World War II with our president's grandfather's good buddy Adolf Hitler, were operating in this little tiny bubble of a great deal of make-believe. Hitler would order these troops into battle that didn't exist, and nobody would dare tell him they didn't because they'd get shot. And sometimes some of the things that Bush is saying and doing makes it seem like he doesn't really comprehend the degree of skepticism and mistrust that is happening out here in the rest of the country. Now, that being said, what could they possibly do when thinking about potential scenarios for a new false flag attack? It does seem inevitable that they have to find some way to shut down the Internet, at least those non-commercial portions of it, that are carrying this political information. And we're seeing three possibilities there. The first is, of course, they're talking about taking away net neutrality so that big corporations will have principal access on the Internet, and web pages like mine will basically be shuffled off to this little slow lane that'll be progressively made so slow that nobody will want to wait for it anymore, and the readership will decline. The other situation, of course, as I mentioned earlier in the show, is Internet 2, which is a new Internet which will have the ability for government censorship and control built into it. And finally, if they do try a new false flag attack, there will probably be a shutdown of the net that is blamed on the terrorists, hackers, or alternatively, the government will claim that the terrorists are using the Internet to communicate, and therefore, for the public safety, we have to shut down email and web browsing for the duration of the crisis until filterable, controllable email that will protect us from the terrorists can be brought back, so forth and so on. But in the end, I think these methods are going to be doomed to failure, and the model I like to point to is the old Soviet Union, when a network of fax machines, this was all pre-computer, a network of fax machines called the Samizdat sprang up across the country where people were writing articles, and then each fax machine would fax that article to 10 other fax machines where it would get read and passed on to 10 more fax machines. And this network evolved, and it was by means of this that the Russian people began to realize how much their government was lying to them. And this was a lot of the climate, if you will, that helped lead to the demise of the Soviet Union, because the people simply lost faith in their government. They lost trust in their government. It's the same process we're seeing happen here right now. And the funny thing about trust, once you've lost it, once you've abused it, you've broken it, you don't get it back overnight. No amount of scaremongering, no amount of fearmongering is going to get that back. And a government that has lost the trust of its people is really a government that is going to have a very difficult time continuing to function. And because once you get caught in a blatant lie, like Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, then people start wondering, what else have we been lied to? Was the 16th Amendment really ratified? We don't know. All the government says, trust us, it was. Well, we don't trust the government anymore. Is the president really legally entitled to do some of the things he's done with prisoners that we've seen him do? We don't know. The government says, trust us, but we can't trust the government anymore because we know they lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So it's kind of like a wood rot. Once it gets in, it starts to spread. And the more people look, the more lies they find, because the government had been lying all along about, well, a lot of things, really. You know, it's going to be easier to count the times the government has told the truth than to count the times the government has lied. So the more people look, the more they see, and the more that crisis of confidence grows. The government's not going to get the trust of the people back anytime soon, and that is the dilemma they find themselves in.
Could that be the silver lining of this Iraq war? In other words, going back in time to where Afghanistan was clearly a major component in what happened to the Soviet Union in terms of its demise. Could we be looking at a situation here where, on the one hand, of course, it's clearly sickening that our government lied to us about our reason for going into this war? We've lost something like 3,300 Americans, if the British Lancet Medical Journal report is to be believed, and I basically believe it after talking to Chalmers Johnson. We have killed over 600,000 people in that country. I think George McGovern cited that figure in his op-ed piece for the L.A. Times yesterday. And as this sort of thing continues to go on, apparently without end, including instead of having $50 billion in expenditures, according to Mr. Wolfowitz, we're now at half a trillion and counting. Is this an example of something that's absolutely watershed? In other words, we had Kennedy assassination. You could even go back to Pearl Harbor, of course. Pearl Harbor, the Kennedy assassination, and more recent years, Waco and Ruby Ridge, and what happened to Ron Brown and Vince Foster and TWA 800 and the Oak City situation. Are we now at a point where this Iraq thing is the last straw, and the government is not going to be able to get the mistrust genie back into the bottle?
I would say that's definitely the case, and it's a funny thing about war. If you win a war, very few people are concerned about how you got into it, but the fact is that we're not winning the war in Iraq. Politically, we can't win it because none of the stated objectives turned out to be true. There were no weapons of mass destruction. Iraq was not aiding al-Qaeda. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. These were all the reasons that were given to get us into this war, and since none of them are true, we can't win those particularly specified victories. So we can only thrash, and we can only lose. And when you lose a war, everybody wants to know who to blame that got us in there. And we're going to see that happen. So yes, I think that the upside of losing the war in Iraq is that this could very well be the last straw for this particular government.
Well, that's kind of my thinking as well. You know, just to give you a little bit of my background, Michael, my father is a retired Air Force colonel. He at one time, after he got out of the Air Force, was the chief logistical director for the Shah of Iran's Air Force when he was working for Lockheed in the final years of the Pahlavi regime in Iran. So I come out of a military family, and I've said before on this show that although I can't prove it scientifically in terms of data and polling and random sampling, that when I drive around San Antonio, and this is considered to be military town USA, the people who know it between the Air Force bases that are here and then Fort Sam Houston Army Base, USAA insurance conglomerate is here, and so forth and so on. You used to see a lot of these ribbons on cars around here talking about supporting the troops. Now, I think we need to be careful here. I think in one sense of the word, no matter how much any of us oppose war, at one level we all support these young men and women in regard to wanting to get them out of harm's way. That's the way I would look at it. But in regard to the political agenda that's usually behind these expressions of supporting the troops and so forth, at least as Bush and company have been spinning that, there's less evidence of that now in San Antonio than I've ever seen before. You don't see nearly as many of these stickers on cars as was once the case. Far fewer Bush and Cheney stickers, far fewer of the United We Stand stickers and so forth and so on. I guess the reason I mention this is that if this truly is an indication, however non-scientific, of what's happening in the most significant military community in America, I would suspect that in other more mainstream cities, this dynamic must really be going on. To what extent do you see evidence of that?
Oh, I'm absolutely in agreement. Here in Hawaii, where we have the highest per capita density of military bases anywhere in the country, we're a heavily military island. I'm looking out the window here at the wreck of the USS Arizona, and we noticed certainly the same thing. Right after 9/11, the little ribbons were everywhere. Now you can barely see them. Some people have actually started taking them and converting them into little nooses and then rewording them about fire the liars and everything. But just the other day at a local supermarket, we saw a box of those yellow support the troop ribbons on the manager's closeout special priced at 10 cents each, and nobody was buying them even then. So I think most people, this is definitely an indicator, most people have realized that support the troops was just another con game into tricking people into supporting the war. And like you, I have tremendous respect and concern for the safety of our young men and women in uniform. I want them home safe. Because when they sign up for the military, they signed up to defend this country and not to get used as pawns who grab oil to make rich people richer still. And we have family in the military. We're very concerned about them. And I think if you look back at Vietnam, the government played some really dirty tricks on the anti-war movement. And one of the ones they did was to convince them that directing their anger at the actual soldiers was going to end the war, and it didn't. All it did was build sympathy for the soldiers, and the government was able to use that to prolong the war. So this time people are realizing that the soldiers are not the same thing as the war policy makers, and we oppose the war, but we support and we want to take care of our men and women in uniform, because the government is not. They're coming back, those who are wounded, they're being treated in deplorable conditions. The kids coming back tainted by depleted uranium are being completely ignored by the government, and they're suffering this horrible epidemic of severe birth abnormalities in the children that they're having after they get exposed to depleted uranium. And again, the government is saying, it's not our problem. We're not to blame. You know, this is what you signed up for when you joined the military. And it's really a very disreputable way to conduct the aftermath of a war. So I think the general population realizes that of just about everybody in the country, it's the soldiers who really got the short end of the stick on this whole deal, because they've been put in harm's way for very false reasons and justifications. And when they do get harmed, the government simply shrugs and say, well, you're not useful to us anymore, so goodbye, and, you know, thank you for all the shrapnel.
Well, yes, so, and I think, you know, a couple of things to underscore your point on this, Michael. Newsweek, the epitome, one presumes, of corporate media, had a front-page piece, you know, some issues ago about what has really happened to many of these wounded vets. We've got this Walter Reed scandal that has utterly sickened people. And I think back to, you mentioned Hawaii today. I lived in Hawaii years ago, by the way, during the Vietnam War. I spent 3 years at Wheeler Air Force Base there in Wahiawa, and spent a year at Hickam Air Force Base in Honolulu, and was a denizen both of Trinity Lutheran School in Wahiawa and also Iolani School in downtown Honolulu, just to give you a little bit of my own bio. But during Vietnam, I remember, of course, and I was pro-war. You might predict that based upon the fact that I was the son of an Air Force colonel in those days who was involved with Vietnam. But in those days, we perceived that people who were not supporting Vietnam in many cases were subversives and communists and drug users and purveyors of degeneracy in American culture. I think there was some of that, certainly, but I also think there was a much wider anti-war sentiment that was growing with the American public as things continued to go on for some very good reasons. Seems to me that today you've identified something very significant here, and it is that this so-called anti-war movement at this juncture seems to just be starting, really. I think there's a lot more sentiment for it out there than what we've seen up to this point in terms of real activism on the streets. The other thing is that there seems to be a recognition on the part of a lot of mainstream Americans at this juncture that there are people left, center, and right who oppose this war for some very good reasons, and that we have really anti-war sentiment that presumably cut across a wide sector of American society. That must make people like Bush and Cheney and Wolfowitz extremely nervous.
Yeah, it absolutely will, because they're struggling to find some kind of a base that they can use to move forward and say, well, we have the support of this group and we have the support of that group, and they're really flailing about for it. Now, what you said earlier about there were drug users and degenerates, again, this gets back to some of the COINTELPRO operations that were being done to try and silence the anti-war movement, because a lot of these more extreme acting people of the anti-war movement were actually government informants and infiltrators who acted in this way so that the media could say, well, if you're opposed to the war, then you're morally equivalent to these people behaving badly. And this did result in silencing quite a few people who otherwise would have spoken out against the war. But again, because of the internet, this very unsavory part of American history is now common knowledge among the new anti-war movement, and they know to look out for these dirty tricks. They understand that the government does play dirty when it wants to get its way.
We'll be back. Stay tuned.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. That's quite a website, folks, and with Michael's permission, I will get that posted on my links page at MarkDankoff.com for future browsers to my site. I think it's that important a site, that good a site, and is just an outstanding place to get to a lot of alternative media information in regard to what's going on now, as well as what has been going on over a period of recent decades. Very, very fun place to go to for information. It's whatreallyhappened.com. Wanted to mention both to Michael as well as to the listeners that this is historically a time in the next 10 minutes or so when we have a series of frequent commercial interruptions. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. John Stadtmiller has been doing an outstanding job of putting together some very, very fine shows on this network. Thanks to some of the new acquisitions that we've had with Hesham Talawi and Frosty Wooldridge. This is really the kind of information that you can't do without in regard to the day and age in which we're living. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network at www.republicbroadcasting.org or by giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by using those same contact points, www.republicbroadcasting.org or 1-800-724-2719. If you have a call-in question today for either me or for Michael Rivero, you can do so at 1-800-313-9443. That call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. 9443. Michael, I know we're going to be interrupted with another break here shortly, but as I'm looking down your site, there are so many things we could talk about with some of these stories. One kind of leaps out at me because I do read corporate media as well as the alternative media. And corporate media in recent times, I'm thinking of the London Financial Times, for example, which has been giving a lot of coverage to this Paul Wolfowitz situation with the scandal at the World Bank. Are we here dealing with a situation where corporate media is covering something related to Mr. Wolfowitz that, in fact, is not the real story as it pertains to this guy?
Very much so. When you look at what's going on in our country, there are safe scandals to talk about, and there are the unsafe scandals to talk about. Safe scandals are holes in the sock and having a mistress on the payroll and things where you can basically say this or that particular individual is doing something that's a very questionable. The unsafe scandals are the ones that delegitimize the entire system. And this is why we have congressional hearings into the lies told about Jessica Lynch and Pat Tillman, but we still don't have congressional inquiries into the lies about weapons of mass destruction, the forged Niger documents, and Bush's State of the Union speech based on that got us into the war. Because I think most people would agree that the greatest crime a leader can commit against his own people is to lie them into a war of conquest. And this is what's happened here. And a lie of that scale delegitimizes the entire government.
We'll be back with Mike Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com and Mark Dantos of America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.